listening?
Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? Yo, my G. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Guys, gals, and non-binary pals, welcome to the Are You Listening podcast. Podcast born from a couple of friends trying to get each other listener records, and both of them saying, yeah, I'll definitely check that out. And then not doing that. I'm here with my friend Scott, co-host Scott.
What's hey, up? What's going on? How you feeling today?
I got like the full kit on today. I'm ready for this
episode. Yeah, I see that.
Totally ready. I got my I got the 3-6 hoodie embroidered. I got my 3-6 beanie on, and I'm into this thing.
Yeah.
I felt like I had an excuse to do nothing but listen to 3-6 this week, so I was in a wild energy. I listened. There wasn't a silent moment in my week because anytime there was a second, I was shuffling this baby.
3-6.
It was just living it. Just living it. And yeah. I had an amazing time doing these notes, which I may have too many of. So let's just dive into these notes.
Let's do it. Let's go.
3-6 Mafia is an American hip-hop group from Memphis, Tennessee, founded in 1991.
Oh, okay.
All that check out for you?
I was going to say, I definitely felt the South, that's for sure, just listening to it. 91 checks out. Like, I don't know the date on this record that you gave me, but 91 feels about right for a group of fellas who sound like this, doing this type of music.
Well, let me inform you on these fellas. Here we go. Emerging as a horror-themed underground hip-hop group, they would eventually go on to enjoy mainstream success. 3-6 Mafia's founding members became musicians at young ages. In 1988, DJ Paul, at 13, was taking piano lessons, and his half-brother, Lord Infamous, age 15, was a singer practicing bass and electric guitar. The two would compose songs together.
Okay. But 13 in 88 makes him 16 in 91. So
yeah.
He joined or founded 3-6 Mafia at 16.
We're getting there. I got plenty of notes here.
God. Yeah. God. Okay.
At the same time, in North Memphis, Tennessee, Juicy J, at 13, was learning how to DJ as well as rap. He had initially wanted to be a singer, but in the late 80s, early 90s, he fell in love with the gangster rap style, and he, like his future founding group members across town, wanted to make music like popular artists of the time, NWA and Ghetto Boys.
Okay. At 16.
DJ Paul and Juicy J, same age.
Okay. All right.
Lord yeah. Infamous is older.
Okay. So we got DJ Paul, Lord Infamous, and Juicy J are the founding members.
Well, by 1991...
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
By 91, DJ Paul had already began to make a name for himself in the local scene through DJing at local clubs, some mixtapes, and more original content with his half-brother Lord Infamous in a group that they had called Da Serial Killers.
Okay. So the two of them were Da Serial Killers. God damn. Yeah. Okay.
Up in North Memphis, Juicy J was slowly building a name for himself by putting out his own mixtapes and DJing also. That same year, so 91, DJ Paul and Juicy J first crossed paths after Juicy sought out Paul for help making beats.
Okay. All right.
So that's when they crossed over first time. So they would have both been, like you said, 16?
Yeah, 16. Crazy.
The two quickly grew fond of each other's musical styles and teamed up with Lord Infamous to form the group The Backyard Posse.
Okay. Man, we're all over the place.
Oh, there's more names. There's more names. Yeah.
Okay.
DJ Paul and Lord Infamous continued work as Da Serial Killers by themselves and released their first legitimate original recording in 92 titled Portrait of a Serial Killer. It featured horrorcore styled lyrics from Lord Infamous and dark beats from DJ Paul. The tape is recognized in its raw form as a pioneering work of horrorcore hip hop.
Okay, so they are considered horrorcore hip hop. Like that's
at least at this point.
Okay. All right.
Juicy J, in the meantime, released his debut hard copy mixtape, Volume 5, the same year, as well as his seminal track in its original form, Slob on My Knob.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
You know that song, correct?
I think I've heard it, yeah.
Slob on my knob, like corn on a cob. Check it with me and do your job.
Jesus. Yeah.
In 93, while recording music for the Backyard Posse, Lord Infamous rapped the line referring to his crew as the 666 Mafia.
Okay, so the horrorcore coming in. That, I was going to ask if there was a meaning behind the 3-6 Mafia. I'm assuming it's the devil's number, but I didn't know.
Yeah, the group felt that the name more closely matched their bleak and dark imagery of the music.
Okay, got it. Love it.
In 94, the group added its fourth member, and this is spelled with its, I'm going to spell it before I say it, just to be clear. Koopsta, K-N-I-C-C-A, Nicka. Koopsta Nicka. I'm reading it as it's spelled.
Right.
That's his name.
Right, got it. Okay.
So the group added Koopsta Nicka, and Paul and Juicy and entrepreneur Nick Scarfino formed Prophet, their first imprint, and through their label, Prophet Posse was created, which was a looser collective that consisted of several local Memphis rappers associated with Paul and Juicy.
My God, there's a lot going on here.
it's air, yeah, and it continues. At the same time, Juicy J's older brother, Project Pat, emerged with his debut solo tape. In 95, the group filled out when it added Crunchy Black and Gangsta Boo and released their debut album, Mystic Styles.
That was going to be my next question, because I remember when she passed away, Gangsta Boo was recognized as being an essential member of 3-6 Mafia, but I did not hear, yes, a female vocal on this record at all.
That was part of my decision of bringing this one. In addition to this, is the one I've listened to the most, the one I kind of love the most. There isn't a female vocal in this, because both Gangsta Boo, who is a founding member essentially, and La Chat have, yeah, both been a part of 3-6 Mafia, but they're neither of them are on this record.
I've heard Gangsta Boo featured on other artists' music, and I don't mind her at all. I think she's great.
In 96, the group put out its first non-lo-fi music record, Chapter One, The End, and Paul and Juicy would produce a handful of projects for other artists associated with Prophet Posse, and then they would build the framework for their independent label, Hypnotized Minds.
Okay, so the Hypnotized thing is their label that they built then. Because that's also mentioned in the record a couple times, and I didn't know what was going on.
When I was listening to this, I realized there is a lot of like ingrained slang built into 3-6 Mafia that you kind of got to figure out.
Yeah.
We move on to 97. The group signed a deal with Sony and put out its first RIAA certified album, Chapter 2 World Domination, that would reach gold status, selling over 800,000 copies in the U.S.
In Tennessee alone.
A lot of them were definitely in Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So here we go, Scott. More subgroups and groups we've got coming here.
Love it.
In 99... Tear to Club Up Thugs, which is a subgroup of 3-6 Mafia members of the founding trio, Paul, Juicy, and Lord Infamous, released Crazy and Lazy Days, which is recognized as one of, if not the first album made entirely in the crunk production style.
Oh, okay. So they started crunk.
There were other crunk existing, but one of the first complete albums, if not the first, entirely produced as like a crunk production.
Gotcha.
So in 2000, the group soars to new heights in the crunk music genre with When the Smoke Clears 66-61, which achieved platinum status.
Oh, wow. Okay. Sweet. Good for them.
In 2000, Prophet Posse itself, the loose collective, disbanded, and anybody who was like performing under the Prophet Posse and not signed to Hypnotized Minds kind of went away.
Okay.
In addition to Koopsta Nicka was forced out of the group because of legal issues, including a robbery incarceration.
Oh, shit. Okay. Not good.
We move on to 2001, Scott. We're getting there. We're getting there.
Man.
In 2001, the group released the soundtrack to the DJ Paul, Juicy J, and Hypnotized Minds produced film, Choices. The soundtrack was released as a studio record.
Okay. It was mentioned in the record.
Yes.
Got it. Understand now.
Juicy and Paul had positioned Project Pat as the new star of Hypnotized Minds with his 01, Mr. Don't Play, Everything's Working, which hit number 4 on the Billboard charts. Now, maybe you'll remember that number because that record will be coming to you at some point.
Okay. I won't listen to it then until you give it to me.
In 01, Gangsta Boo also left 3-6, citing multiple things such as differences, religion was brought up, things like that. So it was just a, you know, they just kind of, it played its course, I guess. It ran its course and she exited the group.
Right.
In 2003, the latest incarnation of 3-6 Mafia, DJ Paul, Juicy J, Lord Infamous, and Crunchy Black released Da Unbreakables.
Okay, so this one.
2003 is what this record's from.
2003.
There's quite a bit of the horrorcore and the crunk in this, if we're being honest. It's kind of a weird combination of the two.
Yeah, it is. It's... I don't want... Polarizing seems wrong to say because that seems aggressive, but it definitely seems like two different styles trying to mix into one project.
And I think it's one of those things where if you like both of those styles, it works. But if you don't like both of those styles, maybe it doesn't.
Yeah.
Because I know it works for me. We'll get to yours, though. First off, Da Unbreakables released June 24th, 2003. So other records. Released June 2003.
Here we go.
And if you recall, we listened to quite a few 20-year records last year, so maybe there's some on this list here, Scott.
Oh, we have. Yeah. There should be.
So other albums released June 2003. The first one I have, just in June at some point, On Broken Wings, Some of Us May Never See the World. I know we listened to this one for 20-year records.
Did we? I don't remember that one.
I know for a fact we did, but okay.
I believe you 100%.
Yeah.
I just don't remember it.
On June 3rd, Eels put out Shootin' Annie.
We listened to that one too, didn't we? Or no?
I don't think we
did. Or did I hold off on giving you... Yeah, I think I held off because I've been thinking about bringing you an Eels record.
Also on June 3rd, pretty sure we listened to this one because I remembered loving the hits and then the record didn't do what I remembered it doing. Armor for Sleep's Dream to Make Believe.
Man.
No?
Yes. I'm sure we listened to it. Yeah, I don't remember it very well.
Also June 3rd, Monin put out Are We Really Happy With Who We Are Right Now?
Yes. I remember that one. I love that record.
I remember. Still do. I remember you loving it. I think it was just kind of right. You know, run of the mill for me. I was just like, all right, yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think it was pretty mid for you.
Also, June 3rd, friend of the show, not this record though, The Unseen put out Explode.
Oh, yeah,
great record.
Yep,
those dudes.
I know we talked about we wish they would just put out more records,
yeah,
and longer records,
yes, yeah,
because it's never enough.
Man, what a great band. On June 5th, and if there's ever been a safer episode to say this thing that could lose us fans, I'm going to use this one to say it. On June 5th, my favorite from this band, Saint Anger by Metallica.
Oh, God. Get the fuck out of here.
You can't tell me there's not a safer episode to say that on. How many Metallica fans are tuning in for 3-6?
Yeah.
I mean, there's
Saint Anger is such a terrible fucking record.
No, it's very interesting. It's very of the time.
I mean, no, it's not. It's not of the time. Like, nobody was banging on empty kegs as a snare drum.
Well, okay.
At any time.
I'm glad you added as a snare drum because Slipknot.
Yeah, no, I said as a snare drum because Lars was out of his fucking mind with those drums.
I will go so far as to say that Saint Anger is the closest Metallica ever got to Iowa.
Oh, God. You can't say that. You can't say that.
It's been said. It's on wax. It's over.
Oh, terrible.
Coming out June 9th, 2003, we have Radiohead, Hail to the Thief.
I don't think I made you listen to that one because I don't think I was a big fan of that one.
I thought we listened to it. I could be mistaken, though. No, we listened to one for the...
Yeah, we listened to OK Computer for the show, and then I had you listen to In Rainbows.
But I think In Rainbows was in the 100 greatest or something. I think it was in one of the lists we did.
Yeah, it was the list. Yeah.
On June 10th, Dropkick Murphys came out with Blackout.
Fuck yeah, my favorite record from them. I absolutely love that record.
Keep that same energy because June 16th, the Black Dahlia Murder put out Unhallowed.
Fuck yeah. Great fucking record. I'm actually wearing my Black Dahlia t-shirt right now.
Well, one day later, coming out June 17th, Brand New put out Deja and Tendu.
Yep, that's a good record. Even though we can't be friends.
Scott, in the year 2024, yeah. The year of our Lord, which we are in right now.
Yeah.
I walked by a dude standing outside a bar wearing a Deja and Tendu shirt with a flannel over it, smoking a cigarette yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a vibe.
I'll tell you what the real vibe is. I had on my When the Smoke Clears 6661 crew neck on, earbuds in, listening to Dumb Breakables. He may have said something to me. I'm not going to stop and ask you what you said.
Just kept walking.
I'm not going to be like, what's up? What's going on, guy? No, just kept train, kept rolling. We're good.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But yeah, and I even like remember I said to myself, 2024, that shirt's still in rotation. Like that shirt,
2024,
that shirt is still in rotation. All right, man.
He's doing it. Maybe
he's one of those guys who can separate it. You know, good for him if so. But yeah. It still gives off weird vibes to people who can't. But I guess that's our problem, not his problem. I don't know.
For sure. He's all about it.
All right. June 17th, the Suicide Machines put out A Match and Some Gasoline.
Yeah, we listened to that one.
Yes, we did. We sure did.
It was better than I remember it being.
I don't remember if we listened to this one or not, because I think I may be bringing these guys to you at some point. But maybe did listen to it. June 17th, Himza put out Courting Tragedy and Disaster.
No.
Okay.
I don't remember that name at all.
So then there was an official, I'm going to bring these to the show. Okay, I should probably write that down because I completely forgot about it until I saw this. And then the last one I have, Scott, that came out June 24th, 2003, the Mars Volta Deloused in the Coven Tour.
Oh, my God. Man, what a freaking ride with that record. God, it's so good.
What a wild ride of a year.
Yeah, right. 2003 was crazy.
2003 was nuts.
Yeah.
And to further instill that, let's move on to the Billboard charts.
Let's do it.
Billboard 200, week of June 28th, 2003. So Dumb Breakables is out. It's not on these charts. It's after.
Right.
At number five, Honky Tonkville by George Strait.
Oh, my.
2003.
Okay. George Strait doing it in 2003 feels crazy to me.
Yeah. At number four, Bear by Annie Lennox.
Okay. The charts are wild right now compared to what's coming out. Holy shit.
Number three, Hail to the Thief, Radiohead.
That's not surprising.
At number two, Barty said it, their best record, Saint Anger by Metallica.
God, what a terrible fucking record.
If you had 100 guesses of what beat out Saint Anger, you wouldn't get this.
No, I wouldn't be able to tell you. There's no way. If you gave me a list, I'm sure I probably wouldn't be able to pick it.
It is Dance with My Father by Luther Vandross.
What?
Number one. Billboard 200.
Was the number one selling record at the time in 2003.
Yeah, sure is.
Jesus Christ.
Sure is.
Wow, what a wild top five. That is insane. We have George Strait, who has to be pushing 70 at the time. Luther Vandross coming out of nowhere. Topping it, Metallica with their worst record, Radiohead with a very mid record,
and Annie Lennox.
Annie Lennox, that's right. Man, we all older artists, like much older. Radiohead, not much older, but like
that's the one. That's the one I was gonna say was kind of.
I mean, they were even doing it in mid '90s, though.
They're riding a wave right now, though.
Yeah, but man. All these other artists, really weird to see them at the top of the charts in 2003.
Well, also crazy is we have two equal longest on the charts. One at number 44, one at number 160. They were both there for 82 weeks.
Holy shit.
At number 44, Cocky by Kid Rock.
Oh. Oh, God.
And I'll turn that frown upside down because at number 160, Misunderstood by Pink.
There we go. There's something at least.
Also, I have to say that the Deftones self-titled is on the charts at this point. I think it's number 60-ish.
Okay.
But it did have a peak of 4, I think, which would have been nice. 3 weeks prior. So Deftones self-titled did hit number 4 3 weeks prior.
Oh, well, thank goodness. At least we had something going on.
Right. I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say I tried to listen to Cocky by Kid Rock, but I think I was already out at that point. Like,
there's no way I was listening to that. I was so far from even attempting to listen to Kid Rock at that time.
My cousin definitely owned the CD, so that's how it would have even gotten played. Like, other than that, I would have never heard it. Never heard it.
Yeah, no, there was no way I was taking any time out of anything to listen to Cocky.
So let's move on to the Hot 100.
Okay.
Week of June 28th, 2003. At number 5, Magic Stick, Lil' Kim featuring 50 Cent.
Okay. I don't remember the track, but Lil' Kim's good. 50's good.
I definitely remember the track. I do. I definitely remember Magic Stick. I had a huge crush on Lil' Kim. Huge.
I was always more of a Foxy Brown guy. Didn't they have a bit of a beef?
I think so. But you said Foxy Brown. I thought of Biggie. I just listened to a record by Biggie's mistress from 2013, like yesterday.
What?
Biggie had a mistress while his wife was pregnant. And this woman who he like signed off on and said like, yeah, you should go into rapping. She put an album. She put a couple albums out back then. But I listened to her 2013 mixtape like yesterday.
Oh, wow. Weird.
Charlie Baltimore.
Now I'm going to look it up because I need to know.
Let's move on to number 4 on the Hot 100. And I'm not going to be able to say this without doing the name thing, but we've made peace with it. It's going to happen. Get Busy by Sean DePaul. it has to happen. I've made peace with it. I can't not do it. Coming in, number 3, 21 Questions, 50 Cent featuring Nate
Dogg. Oh, yeah. Man, what a good track.
It is great.
Yeah.
And then if there was ever a 1-2 that would tell you what was going on in pop culture at the time, we have at number 2, Flying Without Wings by Ruben Studdard. And at number 1, This Is the Night by Clay Aiken.
Oh, my God. Big American Idol times.
Yeah.
Big American Idol times. Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Terrible. Terrible tracks.
I have 2 of the longest. I have 2 of them because the first one we're just going to kind of briefly move over. At number 13, 34 weeks on the chart, Ignition by R. Kelly.
Yeah.
It's not even the remix, so I don't know why this is on the fucking chart so long. Weird Al, come on and make all the fucking R. Kelly's music again.
Yeah, right?
And then at number 17, 32 weeks on the charts, When I'm Gone, 3 Doors Down.
Okay. We've talked about it previously, I think. I'm kind of a closeted 3 Doors Down semi-fan.
Yes, for the whole career, wasn't it only a certain time?
I think it was just a certain time, because I definitely haven't looked into them to see if they put anything new out since like their second or third record.
Okay.
I couldn't even tell you where I stopped listening to them.
Well, either way, Scott, Da Unbreakables, 20 tracks, 70 minutes long.
it was a bit long.
I mean, there's some things that is, well, the things that you can cut out aren't really that long, if I'm being honest. they're very quick. But it is also a situation where you could have went through and chose your own adventure. Like, you could have picked out 10, 11 tracks and taken that.
Oh, man, what a musical choose your own adventure. How cool would that be?
I mean,
I want to do that.
I told you, there's a few records. There's a definitive time in hip hop, and I think this is actually a little posted, although a lot of 3-6 you can kind of do that, and I do
sometimes,
but that's another reason why I watched this one, is because I felt like there the weakest part of this is still an okay song.
Okay.
Even if you wouldn't be vibing with the, let's say, subject matter, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll get there.
There's a few. Yeah.
But there are a few different 3-6 albums that I absolutely adore some tracks on, and then there's some tracks I'm like, okay, we're good. Next. So, right. You know, it is kind of choose your own adventure. And if we're being honest,
is this your definitive favorite 3-6 record?
It's definitely my most listened to.
Okay.
Is it my favorite? I think basically just off of the most listened to, I'd say yes.
All right.
I don't think my top, maybe even 4 out of my top 3-6 songs are even on here. Like I absolutely love some other tracks, but I just think this album kind of.
But album as a whole.
Yeah, it works better. And I feel like because I have so much invested in this album, it will make for a better episode. We'll see.
Okay.
And it's not like the length would have changed because some of their other records are longer. So, you know, it's not.
Yeah,
even like
you said that when you gave it to me. Like you said, some of their records are pretty long.
Yeah, it's not like I could have even saved it there. So,
right.
Like I said, the only thing that I coming into this that I was worried about is there's kind of a lot of built-in slang and words and phrases and shout-outs used that if you're not kind of familiar with them, it might sound like noise and what the fuck is happening? And I get that.
It just sounded like a bunch of words I didn't understand on some of them.
Yeah,
and I just kind of like rolled with it.
Good. That's what you needed to do. Yeah. And I'm hoping that the opening notes helped with that a little bit, though. At least now might have cleared some of that up.
I'm still in the weeds as to who's in this fucking group.
Well, for this record, we talked about it. For this record, Juicy J, DJ Paul, Lord Infamous, Crunchy Black. That's the 4 core members. And I will mention when somebody else is on a track on this. Even though they're not, it doesn't say featuring, there may be somebody else popping up for like a mini verse and something. I don't know, man.
It's, Lil Flip's is, definitely in one of them.
Lil Flip's in 2.
Oh, okay. I was saying, I know I heard his name.
Yes. Yeah. So let's just dive in then, Scott. If you want to just start at the first track here, They About to Find You a Body.
Straight off, I can tell that these dudes are from the South. The Ambulance and Mammy.
Yeah.
For sure from the South. Pretty dark and cinematic lyrics going on here. Throats cut, gunshot, wounds, broke bones, plagues, disease, war, clones, and ozones. Love it. Bitch, I ain't from England, but my money's still come in pounds. That's a great line.
Yeah.
A lot of repeating going on here, but the beat goes so hard with that bass and the horror type feel from the keys that it just sounds great. I kind of had a feeling I was going to get a lot of repeating going on.
Yeah.
Because it's coming from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we might have mentioned it before. When I mentioned repeating on a different record, you were like, oh, just wait till you get that 3-6 one.
Yeah. Cause if I like what's being said, give me it again. Like I'm good with it. It doesn't bother me. Also, the repeating is a kind of a key component of crunk music.
Right. And, I never really got into crunk.
Yeah. It's the repeating that's almost like a shout and response. Like you say something, you get something.
Yeah.
Back.
Yeah.
Say something. And then you mentioned the beat. Another key part of crunk music is the pounding relies on the 808s. Like it absolutely relies on that beat. And then you mentioned the horrorcore. That's their horrorcore coming into it with the crunk music. So
I definitely prefer the horrorcore stuff to the stuff we get into a little bit later on the record.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely have a preference.
Well, I will say I love the repeating, and I think crunk has been misrepresented as, I mean, given they did do it big. Lil Jon and the East Side Boys.
Yeah.
They made it so flashy and so like
that's
shiny.
All I ever think of when I hear crunk.
Yeah.
Is those dudes.
Yeah, but this is a different level of crunk. This is like dirty crunk, which
this
I'm all
is
about.
This is the dark shadow of crunk. this is the gritty underbelly, the underground part of crunk.
Yes, absolutely.
Where the radioactive waste is running down the sewer. You got rats with glow in the dark eyes, just gritty, dirty. Yeah, leftovers of crunk.
And just last on They About to Find Your Body, Juicy J does the chorus. Crunchy Black has the first verse. Project Pat has like a little like mini like four bars on here. And then DJ Paul is the from the uterus to the funerals. That's DJ Paul.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
So moving on to the second track. Fuck That Shit.
Yeah, this one. Holy hell. At first, when I first heard it, I was like, man, that's a lot of repeating. That's a lot of repeating. And then about like the third, fourth day at work listening to this, I'm sitting there building panels going, fuck that shit. Fuck that shit. Yeah, it was. It got wild. It got wild. The super distorted guitar in the background gives this track a lot of added grittiness. Man, these guys really go for the dark side of things. Quote, if I don't get high, I'd probably blow my fucking brains out. Wild. These instrumentals really sound like horror movies. Who does the third verse on this one? I'm not a huge fan of the content and the lyrics, but his flow is really great.
Third verse. So you mean like chorus is first. DJ Paul.
I think there's a RuPaul line in it.
It's Juicy J.
Oh,
it's
okay.
100% Juicy J. Yeah.
All right. I really dug his verse. I mean, his flow. His words were kind of problematic.
Yeah.
But the way he approached the track and his flow was just great.
Yeah, I am, as you know, a huge Juicy J fan as well. Like, I'm not going to sit here and try to rank all the members of 3-6. I probably could. But personally, Juicy J is probably my favorite. If we're including Project Pat, I think I'm ready to admit that Project Pat is my favorite. It took me a long time to get there, but I absolutely love Project Pat. But yeah, Juicy J is, it's up there. And it makes sense, though, because Juicy J kind of has his own patterns that he hits. And then Project Pat is kind of the blueprint of that. Like, Project Pat somehow hits these beats that aren't there, but it works perfectly. It's really interesting.
You said Project Pat is brothers with Juicy J?
Yeah, they're brothers.
Okay, yeah.
And gotcha. And Lord Infamous and DJ Paul are half brothers.
Are half brothers, yeah. All right.
Moving on to the third track, Wolf Wolf.
I really like the transition from the last track to this one. It's pretty seamless. Does the line, you ain't gonna fuck with a picture of me, refer to like voodoo?
Potentially, I guess.
Because I don't get it otherwise. I feel like this whole record is a collection of tracks that could soundtrack a gang beating.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm not saying that's just this record either. That's kind of part
that's
of the course.
Just them.
Yeah.
They are the soundtrack to a gang beating.
They are the 3-6 Mafia.
I'm worried about saying anything negative about this record because I feel like I'm going south for vacation soon.
But
luckily, before this comes out,
I was gonna say, yeah, this you'll be back home and safe before this drops.
Yeah. Whew.
But one of the key, just even bars in here that I love is if Crunk was a 44, this be the pump. And I think that explains it perfectly.
Yeah.
Like if Crunk is a 44, which is a big handgun, this is a pump shotgun. Like we're just spreading it, man. Like you're like, we're taking everybody down. I think that works perfectly for this.
Yeah. Crazy.
You also, if I ever bring one to you, if you ever search on yourself, there is a lot of like repeating samples and things in 3-6 music. Like when Juicy's doing his verse on here, there's a repeated sample behind him saying North North. I know you might have thought it was Wolf Wolf, but it's
think it was Wolf Wolf.
Yeah, behind him it's North North, and it's because he's from Memphis. So like
there
is songs where that is kind of the key beat. It's almost like there's a lot of lore within it.
Yeah.
It's like you're sitting down to figure out a comic book universe. Like,
right.
What are they doing? Where are they from?
You heard it here first, folks. 3-6 is Marvel.
I would be ready to have them end here. Just imagine Doctor Strange trying to talk to Juicy J.
Oh, man. That'd be fun.
Let's move on to track 4, Testing My Gangsta.
Before I knew any of the notes, I said, has 3-6 Mafia really been doing this for 20 years? That's wild. Lots of repeating in these hooks, huh? The verses go super hard, though. This shit is just so fucking tough.
Oh, this beat is crazy hard. I love this beat.
Yeah. But yeah, I was, man, halfway through the week listening to this at work, I became somebody different.
Scott, yeah, it changed my life. 3-6 yeah. Mafia changed my life. I became a different person the first time I heard 3-6 Mafia. If I'm being honest, I wasn't 3-6 Mafia is probably the main group that got me interested in any kind of hip hop, because I had a friend who listened to nothing but hip hop. He was just a huge rap guy. He was from Colorado. He moved here and he loved hip hop, huge hip hop guy. And I was listening to nothing but screaming and heavy and crazy. I mean, hip hop was like on the radio and I'd hear that, but there was no interest at the time.
Yeah.
He played me 3-6 and it felt like, it's like 3-6 is the deathcore of hip hop.
Right. Right.
Like it is heavy. It is brutal. It is evil sounding. It's hard. And that's what made me even have a fading interest. And then from there is when I was like, all right, maybe I should go. I don't know if I feel comfortable listening to this in public. And now I got to go listen to the conscious stuff. And then eventually getting back into 3-6 and loving what I love. Moving on to Bin Laden.
Yeah, the hooks are so repetitive, but I think it's kind of starting to grow on me. I think it's pretty wild to write a track about weed named after Bin Laden. Having never been a weed smoker, I don't really have any kind of connection to the subject matter, but this instrumental just feels so menacing. The vibe from these tracks is just so dark. Is this considered horrorcore? Yes. It feels like it should be.
They absolutely have their roots in horrorcore, as you could go so far as to say one of the grandfathers of horrorcore.
Right.
Like they were early in horrorcore. I mean, Mystic Styles, their first record, it's lo-fi horrorcore.
Gotcha. The only thing I previously knew about horrorcore is media would call ICP horrorcore. And it just disgusted me. Like, I can't stand ICP.
I will tell you that there are a few 3-6 records where ICP may or may not pop up in like a posse cut.
Oh God, man. Like, I don't understand the appeal. I just don't get that at all.
I was also kind of branching off of this, I was an Esham guy. I liked Esham a lot for the same reasons. And there's no doubt Esham's horrorcore. Like, that's what he does. I mean, he had a whole group called Nautis, which is just Satan backwards.
Oh, like, wow. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, ICP kind of takes that in a cartoonish way, I think, is what it is.
Yeah.
And if that appeals to you, I'm glad you love it. But
it's not for me at all.
I will still maintain that first record is, I haven't listened to it in a while, but I'm going to go out on this branch. I hope it doesn't break for me later. I will maintain that first record is still probably real good.
Oh,
but
man.
But then it gets real. Man,
the problem is, for me at least, like ICP, they're local-ish guys, and everybody in my high school was listening to ICP. And I was just like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, every time I would get into a friend's car, the cassette would be in the deck. And I'd be like, I have to fucking suffer through this shit again? And then the problem was, the fucking covers on the cassettes looked fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like, God damn it. And then the music, like, it just, dude, it did nothing for me. And then the fucking clown makeup and all the fucking stupid subject matter.
Magnets. Man, how do they work?
I can't do ICP. I think we even tried recently, didn't we?
You did.
Was it just me?
I think so.
Yeah, God, that didn't fucking work.
I'm not going to doubt it probably happened for you sooner and lasted longer, but I got news for you. Everybody, there was a time that was into fucking ICP. They were,
is that right?
In like that, in that group of kids that are like counterculture, but don't really know what they're trying to be.
Oh no, it wasn't that for us. It was fucking the jocks and shit.
We're all into it. I'm saying the counterculture is what kept it alive and introduced the jocks to it. And that's where it came from. Man. Everybody was into it. It was insane. It was an insane time.
It was so long running for us too.
Like, that's what I mean. It started.
I remember it happening. It had to be when I was, man, my parents got divorced when I was 11. I did group counseling when I was 13, I think. And I specifically remember sitting down in this group counseling room with the counselor would bring like a poster board. And while we were there, we could draw on it while we were supposed to talk about our feelings and shit. And I remember drawing one of the ICP covers on that board at 13.
Excellent.
Like, the thing is, I didn't even like them back then. It just, like, it was a menacing clown. So why the fuck not draw something? Because I hated therapy. I especially hated group therapy. I really fucking hated Christian group therapy. And man, I was just in a headspace. But yeah, it was not good.
Sorry. Anyway, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Jeez. Man,
we dove in there.
Yeah. So let's move on to the one track that I thought, if you would have heard any, you would have heard this one or a different one, because this was a big single, man. This thing was huge. Okay. Track 6, Riding Spinners featuring Lil Flip.
I don't think I've ever heard this song before. I don't think I ever heard any of these songs before. Okay. There once was a time when I actually wanted spinners on my ride. It was a 93 Ford Tempo and would have looked completely ridiculous, but I used to have a skeleton hanging from my rearview mirror. And as long as I was bumping this, I feel like it would have worked.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard Lil Flip before, but he killed it on this track. I love the skirt sound throughout the verses. It's fun. Less horror feeling on this track, but very enjoyable.
Yeah, this is closer to the, lack of a better term, generic crunk, where it's like flashiness and...
Yeah. And usually it doesn't work for me, but on this track, for some reason, I just fucking, like, I felt like I could have been riding in my tempo.
Oh, yeah.
Listening to this and having spinners. I think I even looked at getting, like, plastic spinners, and then I was like, nah, that's not the vibe.
Yeah, they sold spinning hubcaps for a while, which is a wild fucking thing.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. It was, like, in AutoZone or something like that. I was picking up a part I actually had to replace on the tempo to get it working, and they had plastic spinners, and I was like, oh, man. And then I was like, no way. I can't do that.
I like the idea of, my car is not really running, but it's going to be running in a minute, so maybe I get some I should get some hubcaps for this thing.
Yeah.
I also had a huge want of spinners, and I never got spinners, but I did eventually manage to get me a pair of dubs. I did have some 20s.
Ah, killing it.
And they were on a 98 Cadillac DeVille. I was fucking doing it, man.
At least it was a caddy. I had a fucking Ford, dog.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't a tempo. That's a different feel. Yeah.
Oh man, it was rough. It was two door. I had been rear ended twice, so the trunk was all fucked up. Like, it looked like somebody could have been trying to get out of the trunk.
I think most tempos look like that.
Right. That was rough. It was rough, man.
Well, let's move on to the next track, Try Something, featuring Project Pat.
Okay. I said, I know you're a Project Pat fan. Heart pumping fast like I ate out of the crack jar is insane.
Oh, yeah.
Super hard track.
And Project Pat, like, he's the opening verse on this, obviously.
Okay. Yeah, and yeah, it says his name in it. That's why
he has wrote it down. such a unique way of rapping. And that's another thing why I think I love 3-6, is because, there's four dudes in here, but they all kind of have unique voices, even though there's four of them. And you know I love a unique voice.
Right.
But Project Pat has a unique voice. He has a unique tempo. He has a unique, like, pattern. I just love it. Jack one, smack one, run off with your sack, son. Anybody with the loot, give it up, I'ma shoot. Bow down, M town. He finds beats that aren't there, but it works so well. It works so well. This is probably my favorite track off the record, just because of that Project Pat verse. I love it.
Gotcha.
I love it so much. Moving on to what I'm just now learning, but it makes sense, because it says on the track listing on Wikipedia, Money Didn't Change Me is apparently a diss of Kupsta Nika.
That's what I was going to add. Like when you were reading the notes and you said he left, I forgot the name of the track, but yeah. I was going to ask if this track was aimed at him.
Yep. Apparently it is. I guess okay. I could have figured that out if I would have thought about it.
Yeah. I wrote, man, what a messed up story that I'm sure happens all the time when someone gets famous and starts earning money. It's sad when this kind of thing happens. I really get down with this track. It's more personal than what they've been rapping about so far, and it's really great.
So that would have been one that you added to your Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And then followed up by one that you would not have had on your Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yeah, definitely not.
Ghetto Chick.
Right off, the instrumental on this track feels like it comes from a late 80s sitcom or early 90s midday talk show. Mm-hmm. It's like a hood love / sexy time track with the background soul vocals. The song has an unintentionally funny vibe. Kind of a weird move, especially coming off of Money Didn't Change Me.
Yeah, but I think if you went from Money Didn't Change Me back to like a hardcore crunk song, it might feel even weirder.
I would want to jump right back into the horrorcore stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think they... Well, let's do it this way. Yeah. Moving on to track 10.
Yeah, you definitely couldn't have gotten to this one.
Yeah, Shake That Jelly.
I'm glad they are inclusive with their love of women with differing bra sizes.
Where my double D's at? Where my D cups at? Where my B cups at? Where my C cups at? I fucking love it. I love everything about it so much.
This thing is probably the most sexy time tracks you've brought to me, and I just feel dirty after listening to it. Also, no mention of A cups. That's kind of fucked up. They're out there too, and those women are beautiful.
You have to appreciate the humor that they have in here, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm going to take her to the movies. I'm going to buy her popcorn. Okay. So you're doing the bare minimum. Got it.
Yeah, absolutely. Minimum. Like, just say you want to supersize a dog.
I love it. I love it. Project Pat has a few of these that are even funnier than this one, man.
Oh, really?
There's one where he says, and it's because, and I'm pretty sure I brought this up before. But the way he fucking raps, too, so it makes it even funnier. He says, I'm not going to tell you the context of it, but he says, ass like a hippo. And yeah,
you said that line before to me.
Yeah, I love
it. And I was really hoping it was going to be on this one. And then he, like, somebody does say hippopotamus in this. And I was like, was that the line? But then I did, like, I was like, it didn't feel right.
Yes, it does. Yeah, no, it's not this. It is on. And like I said, you'll get it is on Project Pat's solo record, Mr. Don't Play, Everything's Working.
Gotcha.
So moving on to the next track, which is apparently, according to Wikipedia, a T-Rock and Gangsta Boo diss. Let's Start a Riot.
Oh, okay. That's kind of sad, but love starting this track off with record scratching. Oh man, they really don't like someone, huh? We're back to the tracks that make you just want to throw down. I'm much more a fan of this version of 3-6 than the last two tracks. Mm-hmm. But hearing that it's a Gangsta Boo diss is kind of sad.
I mean, I have it in the cleanup. There is a whole situation where there was kind of a reunion and whatnot, but I'll get to that when we're done.
Okay.
So let's move on to the next track, featuring a little flip again, Rainbow Colors.
It's a love song to Lean.
100%.
Properly chopped and screwed. I'm sure if I knew anything about syrup more than I love it on waffles, this would hit differently.
I also have to tell you that there is an entire chopped and screwed version of this record.
Of the whole record?
And yeah. Because this song technically is not chopped and screwed. They have some of the sounds in there, but there is another version of the song also that is chopped and screwed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's just they wanted that vibe for the song. If that's a thing you're into, I have to say listen to the full record because the transitions in between the chopped and screwed Unbreakables are pretty flawless. Like, they're pretty amazing.
I don't know too much about Chopped and Screwed. I've heard a little bit here and there in that, especially that Mexican OT track that we listened to. It just sounded like this one at least was slowed down, which seemed appropriate considering subject matter. But yeah, it was a good track, actually. I liked it a lot more than I thought I would.
It's weird that I think the beat on Rainbow Colors is one of the most sinister sounding beats when it's not like it's not a sinister song at all, but I
right,
love
not at all. Yeah.
There's such a sinister undertone to it. It's like, well, syrup might get you, you know, whatever.
Right. Whatever.
So let's move on to Like a Pimp remix featuring Project Pat and Pimp C.
I always feel really weird about songs that glorify the pimp lifestyle.
It's Memphis.
I understand. I just definitely can't connect to this track lyrically, but the beat is kind of cool. Not really a track for me though.
Okay. That's fair. I mean, Pimp C is also a legend. Hip hop legend. And in my head, Project Pat is a legend. Of
right.
And this is the track. It is also Project Pat that says hip eponymous in this track, but it is.
Okay. But
it's not the same, you know,
not the hippo.
Not that one.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So let's move on to track 14. Another fighting song. I'm sure you're into this one. Track 14. Beat Him to the Floor.
I feel 100% way more comfortable in this vibe with 3-6. I probably shouldn't, but I get the violent side much more than the pimp side or the drug side.
Yeah, I see that. You're just coming at it from what you can understand and know.
I suppose, but I'm not a violent dude.
Yeah, but you haven't also like listened to enough of this to even like catch an idea of like,
oh, right.
Okay, so this is what this is. Okay.
Right. Got it. Yeah.
Let's move on to to be your favorite song. This is the one you had. You put this one on in the car with your family. I know did. Track 15, Put Your Dick in Her Mouth.
Yeah. And we're back to being lyrically uncomfortable. The instrumental is pretty crazy. That one tone that plays in the background the entire track is such a vibe. It's dark and ominous. Add the chanting, and it's a crazy feeling. That saxophone is dope, too.
You're just doing anything to avoid listening to lyrics. Like everything.
100%.
You're just trying to push past them into the background of the song. Yep. You're like, I'm trying to be outside of this door.
Hey, sir, please, I'm trying to get through here.
excuse me.
That one dark, ominous tone. I need to hear more of that. Thank you.
The hook of this song makes me laugh so hard, and I'm on the fence on if it's racist or not. I think it is.
Yeah,
I think it is, but I also think it's not done in a way that's like demeaning. If you know what I mean.
Sure.
Like, it's not supposed to be. It's just a rhyme, and I could just see them off some lean, like Juicy J off some lean. And that sounds right, guys. This isn't the only time in the album where it's mentioned about how their eyes are squinted, if you will.
And right.
And none of it ever sounds like they're making fun of it. It's just like, no, that's what we look like. And I'm like, okay. It doesn't sit right, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't sit right, but you're also not like making fun of it. I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird vibe.
Yeah.
It's a weird vibe. All right. Now we're past your favorite track. Let's move on to track 16, Mosh Pit, featuring Josie Scott and Lil White.
Okay. Another fight track. I know all about mosh pits, but I feel like a 3-6 pit would be more dangerous than any other one I've been in.
You know how there has been for the past, I don't know, 10 years or so now, that pits have been popping up more and more at hip hop. Like there's been
such a weird thing to me.
I'm wondering if like, did 3-6 plant the seed for that?
They started it.
Like, were they like, here we go. Like, we're going to start this shit. Because I mean, you hear about Travis Scott mosh pits. I don't get it.
Yeah.
You hear about Playboi Carti mosh pits and shit like that. And I'm just like, I mean, I hope they're loving it, but
I don't see how it happens at those shows.
It was never a thing before. You know what I mean? It just wasn't.
It was pretty much strictly a rock thing.
I love it. I love the crossover. It makes me want to get involved in a pit.
No,
I think I'm retired. You know what? If I ever got the chance to see 3-6, I would 100% have to come out of mosher time. And if it's happening,
oh man,
it's also a different kind of moshing. I assume.
I feel like it's much more violent.
I mean, this isn't Knuck If You Buck. Like if Lil Scrappy showed up,
it's in the same universe, buddy.
It's definitely in the same universe. I'm not disputing that, but Knuck If You Buck is dangerous.
Man, it's not only in the same universe. It is in the same neighborhood.
It's in the same club.
Like they are three houses down.
They're definitely performing in the same club. Too. Yeah, you're right. All right, let's move on to it had to be funny for you because, man, the first time I heard this, I didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah.
Track 17, Chris D, Interlude.
Wait, they got a dude from Saliva on their record? That's a weird move. Who is that for?
I'm going to say it wasn't even me because I wasn't listening to Saliva.
I wasn't either. I actively disliked Saliva. And it's not even like he's not even the singer, is he?
I don't know.
But I thought that dude had like a female sounding name.
I don't know. But Click Click Boom is a banger. I have to admit that. Click Click Boom is pretty fucking
It was really weird because in Mosh Pit, somebody says Click Click Boom.
Yeah.
And for some reason my brain retained that. And then
do you think that's why?
And this came up.
Yeah.
I heard that this is Chris D from Saliva. I was like, wait, what the fuck? Like, did they happen to have, maybe they had Chris D on it already?
Yeah, maybe.
Because he doesn't say anything about Mosh Pit specifically.
No.
Maybe they just had him talking about, 3-6 and they were like, okay, I'll throw Click Click Boom into a track.
Yeah, that's a possibility. I mean, 3-6 Mafia could have also been, and hip hop in general could have been saying Click Click Boom for quite a few years already.
Oh, you know, for sure. Yeah. But yeah, that was just, it was weird.
So let's move on to track 18, You Scared, Part 2.
I think at this point, I might be scared. These dudes just sound like they're too real. Like, they say this shit so easily and so many times over and over and over and over again that I can't help but take them seriously.
You know what? I'm thinking that may have helped me also. Because in addition, when you're coming from a rock, a guitar-driven music scene that has your classic verse, chorus, verse, repeated chorus, verse, repeated chorus. When you have hip-hop songs that do it, there's a little connection there. And then when it's repeated, the believability increases. And I'm like, oh, if they said it that many times, it's
got to be true.
It definitely happened. So, I mean, that could have helped. You know what I mean? Like, that could have been like, yeah, this
right,
is
right, but that's just frightening.
Yeah. Yeah. I got no argument there, I guess. Moving on to track 19, Dangerous Posse featuring Lil White and Frasier Boy.
Vodka mixed with Similac.
Juicy J is on another level, man. It's
so wild.
I knew that would come out, and yeah, Juicy J is a different kind of human being, man.
Yeah, all these dudes just go super hard on this track. I'm not diving deep into this one because I like the idea that they just go super hard against anyone and everyone. The instrumental is sick, and the scratching and mixing at the end was great.
Yeah, but vodka mixed with Similac is one of the most out-of-pocket things I've ever heard.
So crazy.
It's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And just to, like, reestablish, I guess, where, like, Juicy J is, in December 2011, he confirmed that he was the newest member of Wiz Khalifa's Taylor Gang as an A&R and co-owner. So him and Wiz Khalifa co-own Taylor Gang.
Oh, wow. Crazy.
Which is even crazier because, like, Memphis to Pittsburgh, there's not that much in common there.
Yeah.
But I do. That also explains why the Wiz Khalifa Juicy J collab albums have been coming out, and I appreciate every one of them.
Oh, yeah. You were real stoked on that last one that came out, I remember.
Yeah. It's a weird collab that I guess only massive amounts of marijuana can make happen.
Definitely helps facilitate, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And then moving on to the finale, which, I mean, let's be honest, not really necessary, but every 3-6 album kind of has this, every single one of them, where it's them just like talking about what's coming out, what they did, how cool, how great they are. It's outro.
I love it. Yeah. Self-promoting all your other projects at the end of a project. What a great fucking move.
Mm-hmm.
I laughed so hard.
Well, this album actually did reach a peak position at number 4 on the Billboard 200, Scott.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It reached number 2 on the top R&B hip-hop albums. I now wish I would have checked and saw what beat it out, but...
Yeah, I'm curious.
Too late for that. And then it made the Billboard 200 year-end charts, just squeaked in there at 198.
Wow.
It was certified gold with over 500,000 units sold. And then let's move on to the 3-6 Mafia themselves clean up here.
Okay.
3-6 Mafia reached their zenith in 05-06 when they became superstars of hip hop. They dropped the sequel movie and album Choices 2, The Setup, and their most commercially successful album, Most Known Unknown, which charted at number 3 and went on to sell 1.6 million copies in the US.
Whoa.
The rise came to a head in 06 when they became the first hip hop group to win the Academy Award for Best Original Song with It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp as one of the theme songs for Hustle and Flow.
I remember when that happened.
Yeah, it was
because I watched Hustle and Flow too. It's hard out here for a pimp.
Correct. Yeah. They won the Emmy for it.
I remember when that happened, or the Oscar.
Oscar, that's what I meant by that. Emmy's TV. Yeah,
I remember when that happened, and it was a big, big deal. And that was so cool.
3-6 Mafia put out Last to Walk in 08, which was their last record together. And now I got to do your thing where I bring it down with all the deaths.
There we go.
In 2013, it was announced that 5 of the 6 original members of 3-6, DJ Paul, Crunchy Black, Koops Da Nika, Lord Infamous, and Gangsta Boo, were forming a new group called Da Mafia 6.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they did, but DJ Paul was insistent that he said this isn't a 3-6 reunion. This is a new group. And I listened to the mixtape. I listened to the album they put out, and it is very horrorcore based. Like, there's not much crunk in it. It's very horrorcore based. And then on December 20th, 2013, Lord Infamous died of a heart attack at home in Memphis.
Oh, man.
On October 9th, 2015, Koops Da Nika died following a stroke.
Oof.
And then on January 1st, 2023, Gangsta Boo was found dead at her home of an accidental overdose.
Yeah, we heard about that one.
All right, Scott. So, Dumb Breakables, what's your top 3?
I actually have a top 5.
I'll take that. I mean, there's 20 tracks on it, so.
There's a ton. But starting off at 5, Money Didn't Change Me.
Okay.
We talked about it. I like the personal aspect about it. Super dark. And then, like, realizing it's about a former member, that's kind of a bummer. But still, top 5 for me. Coming in number 4, I really liked Rainbow Colors.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seems a weird choice for me, I think. But man, I really ended up liking it for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because the sounds are so good.
Yeah, it was cool. Number 3, Testing My Gangsta. That's just it's a rough track. Like, it's tough, I mean.
Yeah, I get it. I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Number 2, Riding Spinners.
Wow, yeah.
I like that for you. For real, it took me back to my first car and being like, oh man, I can do this.
It makes me feel 13 again, like hearing this record. It makes me feel 13 again, and it's nuts. It's nuts.
Yeah, I definitely felt 17, like, got my first car.
Yes.
I could, like, I want to.
The world's open. The world's open now.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
And then number 1, Dangerous Posse / Outro. Like, I just put them both because I love the fucking self-promotion. I think it's great.
Every record. Every one of them.
So funny. Absolutely loved it.
All right. Great. So this went a lot better than I thought it did, but I guess the question is what matters, Scott.
Well, what's your top 3?
Well, I already told you. Number 1 has to be Try Something, Project Pat. Man, I've never sat here and thought about this. Wolf Spray number 2. Riding Spinners has to be number 3. I mean, I can continue.
Just
like,
keep going. List off every single track.
I'll throw Shake That Jelly in there. Like, I love Shake That Jelly. I think it's hilarious. Mosh Pit, even when I listened to it when I was younger, how he starts it off where he says, it's just a bunch of drunk, ignorant motherfuckers getting the shit whipped out of some music. Every time, even now when I hear it, I'm like, nah, that's not it. But then I still love the song.
Right.
By the way, do you know Lil White? Are you familiar with who Lil White is? He had a huge track, but it might have been after, like, you may have been past, and again, you didn't listen to this kind of music anyway, but he had that song, Oxycontin, Xanax, Boz, Percocets, and Laura Tabs, Volumes, Morphine, Patches, Ecstasy, and It's All Up for Grabs.
Oh, I don't know that at all.
Okay. It was a huge hit in, like, drug-doing teenager circles, I guess.
Gotcha. That was never me.
Yeah, I know. But I guess that's where I had to put the parameters on it now, because I guess that's what it was from.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love this record. I can admit that And I could see why people might not like it, but I love this shit. I love the horrorcore. I love the crunk. I love it mixed. I love 36 Mafia. Scott, Dawnbreakables. Throne, own, phone, or groan?
I definitely phone this.
Okay.
Only because there's like a handful of tracks that I like. Like, if I owned it,
yeah, I get it.
I would just want to like skip to the next track. It's like, I could say I would own it on CD because fast forwarding on CD is a lot easier than picking up the needle, moving it over, and dropping it on the next track.
There's a part of me that likes the idea of you sitting in your basement alone, listening to Put Your Dick in Her Mouth, and and like your wife and son upstairs hearing it and being like, what the fuck is going on down there?
What is daddy doing?
And they just come down, your shirt's off, and you just got a, you got a bottle of lean in your hand, and you're just fucking swinging.
Double styrofoam cups with Jolly Ranchers.
You have a grill in, like, just totally... Like, I told Brandon to change my life.
Emily would be so pissed.
If you showed up with a grill in, two styrofoam cups, and listened to that song, and how fast...
Spinners on the tempo.
How fast are those divorce papers written up?
Oh, they're printing out right away. Emily's got the Wi-Fi printer going.
Oh, amazing. She's like, oh, well, I had these ready, so.
Yeah, and print. Just need you to sign here, initial here. Thank you. Get the fuck out of the house.
Hey, you got to hold my cup if you want me to sign these.
Oh, that's funny. But because it's for the show, like, if I saw it out in the wild ever, I'd probably pick it up.
I love 3-6. Is there a part of you that wants to listen to any other 3-6, or do you want to hold off, or do you just want to let me force you into another one at some point?
No, I would like to, but like, I'd like to see what Gangsta Boo did as a part of the group. I think we've kind of figured out where my lane is with 3-6.
Mm-hmm.
So staying away from, you know, Like a Pimp or Shake That Jelly. But I'm sure there's those tracks on every record. Yes. So I would just have to like get out of my head at those points and really, like we said earlier, dive deep into the instrumental part of it.
Yeah. Just into, like, into the background.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, Mr. Juicy J. I need to get through to see this 808.
That's fair. That's fair. This wasn't the only thing you were listening to. What's your record of the week?
Well, I went to the complete opposite of the spectrum, and I listened to the Elliott Smith self-titled 25th anniversary edition. I actually picked it up at Second and Charles on vinyl, and it came with an early like live recording.
Okay.
And it was like, for it being recorded in like 90-something, like, it sounds fantastic for, like, somebody brought, like, a tape recorder into a coffee shop while he played.
Man, that sounds horrible.
It wasn't actually a coffee shop. I'm sure it was a bar or something. But
I struggle with some of the 3-6's lo-fi shit. Like, there's a bit of me that, even though, like, I get it, it's just like, oh, man, make it this a little crisper.
Oh, no, it sounds like it was professionally recorded. I don't know how they managed it.
Yeah.
But it sounds really, really good. Okay. And it was just cool listening to, like, I haven't really listened to the self-titled record in a long time. And I loved going back and listening to all those songs. And then hearing these other songs that he played live, they were great. It was fantastic.
Good shit. My record of the week will be, it was a 20-year record we listened to this week.
Okay.
It is Burning Bridges by Haste the Day.
Man, that was a good one.
That
was almost my record of the week.
There was a part of me that remembered that you said you didn't listen to Haste the Day, but they seem like a band that would have been like right there in that time period where you just kind of somehow caught whiff of them. But I don't think I care enough. I don't think I cared enough to bring them to you for the show.
Sure.
Yeah. I think it would have made for an okay episode, but
it would have just been a lot of like, yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, we strive for excellence here, Scott, not just okay.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
All right, so I guess all that's left
is
for you to tell me what we're listening to next week.
Well, we're still in April, and we'll have some fun with it, because I picked a mood and went with it for the whole month. We're going with the self-titled record from the Presidents of the United States of America.
Oh, is Lump on here?
Yeah, buddy.
She's Lump. She's in my head.
Yep, we talked a bit about it with the Weird Al draft. Mm-hmm. It got stuck in my head, and I had to go listen to the whole record, and I love it. So, I mean, you might have to be in a certain kind of mood for it, but yeah, that's what's coming up next week.
I know Lump. I think that's about it.
Yeah. I think there's another one you might know.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll see when we get there.
Well, sounds good. Follow us on Twitter or X at A Whale Pod. Follow us on Instagram at A Whale Pod. Join the Facebook group. Link will be in show notes. Shoot us an email at areyoulistening.pod@gmail.com. Scott, thank you for the podcast. Thank you for the episode. Thank you for the friendship.
Thank you, brother.
3-6 Mafia, thank you for the music.
Always.
Listeners, thank you for listening.
Yep.
Listen to something new. Listen to something you love.
Homework.
Are you listening?
Are you listening? I feel like this whole record is a collection of tracks that could soundtrack a gang beating.
Jack one, smack one, run off with your sack, son. Anybody with the loot, give it up, I'ma shoot. Bow down, M-Town. Your shirt's off, and you just got a bottle of lean in your hand, and you're just fucking swinging.
A group of fellas who sound like this, doing this type of music.
Where my double D's at? Where my D cups at? Where my B cups at? Where my C cups at?